welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Good morning and happy Friday. It's Jessica with the podcast, and this is episode 137. When I reach out to you and I say, Moms, what do you want to hear about? What do you want to learn about? You know what I hear a lot? Sleep. My kids aren't sleeping. My baby's not sleeping. My toddlers aren't staying in bed. Sleep is the bane of a mother's existence in so many cases. And so today I get to talk with a sleep expert. Today I'm speaking with Janie Riley of We Sleep. She is from Canada, and after dealing with sleep troubles with her own son, she realized this is a major pain point for parents and she can help them. So today we're going to talk about her sleep consulting business, and she's generously going to give away a sleep consulting package for one lucky winner. So stay tuned to the end of the episode for that. But we're going to chat about how she got started in this business, about basic tips for getting your baby to sleep through the night. We chat about bedtime routines and more. I know you're going to learn so much. I did. Let's get to it with Janie Riley. All right. I want to welcome to the show Janie Riley. Hi, Janie.
Hi.
How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Excellent. Where am I talking to you from today?
I am in Waterdown, Ontario.
Awesome. I've never been up to Ontario before, but I hear it's lovely.
It is lovely. It's great. It's really hot today, so we've got some great weather, which is really nice.
That's wonderful. Finally. Yeah, finally, right? I know, after you thaw out. That's great. Yeah. Well, I am so excited to be chatting with you today. Whenever I reach out to my audience and I say, what do you want to hear about? What do you want to learn more about? And I'm no expert in any of these things, but they say you need a sleep expert on. So Janie, that's where you come in. You're a sleep expert.
I try to be. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yes, I do know a lot about sleep and love sleep.
Oh,
very passionate about the topic.
That's great. So will you just tell me how you got started in sleep expertise?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. I'm very A-type personality, and I had my son when I was, well, I guess it was 6 years ago now. And when I was pregnant, I thought basically, I'm going to have a game plan for sleep. I'm going to be so organized. I had like laminated schedules. He they said to my husband, like, this is what's going to happen. He's going to sleep at this time. This is what we're going to do. And at the time I was working for Disney corporate. So then obviously you have a baby and things kind of went sideways. I was like, oh my gosh, she won't sleep. Nothing that I had planned is happening. And basically was going nuts because my baby would not sleep. I could not do anything to get him to sleep, no matter what I read, no matter what contraption I bought, what cream, what essential oil, it did not matter. My son did not sleep.
Ugh.
So, yeah, it was really awful. And obviously being very type A and, kind of having everything buttoned down, it really threw me for a loop. So I wasn't myself and was having a really, really hard time. And then, so after 12 weeks of struggling, we hired a sleep consultant ourselves, and she was a great lady, and she taught us a lot, and the second night, our son slept through the night, 12 hours, and he was 13 and a half weeks at the time, actually,
mm-hmm.
And he slept through the night, and we trusted this lady, she could have said, told us to do anything, and we would have done exactly what she said.
Right.
And kind of got thinking, and I had known that I didn't want to return back to corporate. So she changed our lives. We had a sleeping baby. Everything was amazing. But I got thinking, and my wheels got spinning, and I thought, I can do this. I can help tired moms and babies out there and take this service to a completely different level and really, really help moms that were in the situation I was in. Because obviously healthy sleep for a baby is huge, but I knew how I felt as a mom, and I wasn't a great mom. I wasn't a great wife. I was stressed, and so my goal kind of stemmed from there, and then I trained and started the business 7 years ago and haven't looked back.
Wow. And I think it's so true that the best ideas come out of your own necessity, right? And your own hardships and your own, what do I need? I need a sleep consultant. I need somebody to tell me what to do and I'll do anything. And you met that need for people and you're continually meeting that need. And so I think those are the smartest businesses.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, and to be honest with you, I was like, oh, I'll just, I don't need to return to corporate. My husband and I, we both lived in British Columbia at the time, and we're both very entrepreneurial. And we thought, you know what, screw it. Let's pack up. Let's start our own businesses, move back to Ontario, left our amazing jobs, and both became entrepreneurs. And I was just thinking of doing it, just as a little, okay, I'm going to be able to stay home with my son and be, start a sleep consulting business with just me consulting. And before I knew it, I couldn't keep up with the demand. So it's massive. And
wow.
So that's kind of how things just started expanding from there.
I love that so much. And so for moms that are listening that are like, I have that baby that's not sleeping. I haven't slept in weeks. Okay, will you just lay it out there? Like sometimes it's our expectations. What is a reasonable expectation to have for a baby as far as when we can look forward to them sleeping through the night? What's reasonable?
Yeah, and that's a really awesome question because, what's reasonable to some might not be reasonable to others. But I will tell you in my experience that I think, and well, it is very common and it is completely healthy for a child who is of a good weight and thriving and eating well, and that sort of thing, at, the 4 month mark is a great time to go, okay, you know what, like good age, good weight, able to sleep through the night. And, sometimes, when I say sleep through the night too, I want to be really clear. A lot of people might say sleeping through the night is 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
In the We Sleep world, sleeping through the night is 11, like 10 to 13 hours, really.
Okay. Okay, that sounds amazing. I'm sure there's a lot of moms that are like, yes, tell me more, tell me more.
Yeah.
So how do you even start? What is the first thing that you do when you're approaching a family with these sleep needs?
Well, first of all, it's important that we assess what's going on and, what is happening with this particular child when it comes to sleep. Are they being rocked to sleep? Are they being fed to sleep? Really taking a good look at what habits the child has or doesn't have. And then, kind of developing a plan, which also, suits their schedule, how long they should be up for during the day, how many naps they should be taking.
Mm-hmm.
Routines, routines are huge. A lot of parents don't implement strong routines, and babies rely on these little sleep cues that are part of the routine that go, oh, yeah, I know nap time's coming up. Oh, I know bedtime's coming up because I just had a bath. Those sorts of things. So it's kind of assessing where the child's at, what the habits are, what we have to change, developing a schedule, and developing a kind of coaching program for the parents that is, loving and gentle and guided, and the parents feel educated, and then that's when we see the great sleep results.
That's amazing. And so is it largely customized by you, or do you have a certain kind of philosophy that you implement with these families?
Yeah, so really, the We Sleep kind of methods or philosophies are typically, we have a tried, tested, and true method, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that, of course, we tweak with different families because each baby's going to react differently, so we might change something on one plan. But the main, day by day, things are going to change, so we'll be tweaking things as consultants. But the reality is the method is pretty consistent, and it is, I guess you could call it gradual extinction. You're with the child the whole time. You're making your way out of the room, away from the child, offering less and less support as they're learning how to sleep over the course of 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing's shocking. You're there for them. You're comforting them. You're teaching them. And as they're learning, you're backing off.
Yeah, I love that. I love that it's gentle and gradual, but not so gradual that you're not seeing results. It's that happy
right.
medium.
Exactly. And babies are very adaptable to change. So when we change things all at once. And a lot of parents will be like, well, why can't I, take the soother away tomorrow? And next week I'm going to take the rocking away. And then the week after, can I take the feeds away? I strongly believe that's really unfair for the child because it's like, we are stretching out a process, you know, potentially 3-4 weeks when it can be done in a few days, all of it.
Yeah.
And introducing a child to go, wait a second, I had that last week. Oh, wait a second, now they're taking this away. Now they're taking that away. Whereas everything's gone. We work on positive habits. Educating the parents is really important. And there's no parents like that are doing right or wrong. I always, you know, have parents call and they'll say, oh, I've done this. I've totally screwed my child up. And I'm like, there's no right or wrong. Like, everything's fixable.
Yeah, right? No, absolutely, absolutely. And ultimately, it's what works for you. Because I'm sure there's other parents that have had success in completely other methods than maybe what you would implement. But if it's working for them, then great. Wouldn't you say that?
Totally.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. And so I know a common pitfall is parents rocking their child or feeding their child to sleep and then doing the transfer and then the transfer is unsuccessful. What do I do, Janie?
That transfer is very unsuccessful, and I'll just tell you why quickly. So what happens is when a parent lulls a child to sleep and, you know, does the, okay, they're asleep in my arms, I'm going to slowly put them down the crib, and I'm going to tiptoe backwards out of the room, not breathe. What happens is the baby gets into kind of their first stage of sleep, and they are drifting off to sleep, but they haven't gone into their next sleep cycle yet. And what happens is when they're moving into their next sleep cycle, a few minutes later or 15 minutes later, it just depends on where they're at, they wake up going, whoa, wait a second, I didn't fall asleep this way. I need that back. So what we want to do is we want to have them fall asleep and self-soothe and fall asleep on their own. Because then when they get into, you know, they're moving through sleep stages or sleep cycles, they're able to put themselves back to sleep without that lulling or that hand or the rocking or the soother or whatever it is.
Right. Right. And so does self-soothing look like letting them cry it out?
So, yeah, that's a good question. Our philosophy is not cry it out.
Okay.
I will always say, we're very clear parents, babies will cry. They will protest. They have no other way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference is, though, when you're supporting them, and you're there for them, there's touch, there's eye contact, there's words, they're being supported while they learn. So when it's the tears or protest is managed properly, the protesting tears will go away quickly.
Protesting is normal, crying is normal, but it's not a matter of, like, they actually need something for you to, like, rescue them, but they need support.
No.
They need support.
Yeah, and it's a baby, right? Like, a baby can't talk. A baby saying, whoa, hey, mom. They're crying, saying, give me that boob. Give me that scooter, pacifier. Right? Like, wait, I don't know how to do this, mom. Like, help me.
Yes,
and,
okay.
It's different. They're just trying to communicate. Or a lot of parents don't understand that, or they don't realize because they're so caught up in the moment that, you know, there's cries of, a lot of the times when I'm coaching a family or my girls are coaching families, we listen for the cry, and a lot of the times it's just yelling. A baby will be like, ah!
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But they're yelling. So it's, all babies are different, so it's like just listening, you know, they're angry, they're yelling, they're crying, they're like, hey, I don't know how to do this.
Right.
But then, all of a sudden, they fall asleep and they wave to their mom when they're leaving the room with a smile on their face, and they go to sleep after a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're happy and they're content, and then they're getting the proper sleep.
Yeah, and you're a better mom and they're a better baby when they're rested, right?
Oh, yes, totally.
You like them so much more. You like them so much more when everybody has slept. That's amazing.
And you're a better wife. You're like, it's way better. You know, we have better memories. We eat better as moms when we're feeling rested. We're not craving carbs and greasy quick food and breads. We're, you know, we are feeling rested and on top of our game and loving every second we have with our child and being present and not foggy headed because we've been up all night.
Yes. Oh, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. Yes. And so for the moms that feel like they've developed some bad habits, so like rocking to sleep or anytime their baby cries in the middle of the night, nursing them or feeding them so that they go back to sleep, right? What is the best way to kind of eliminate some of those bad habits and change the expectation that the baby has from you?
Yeah, so, you know, basically just not giving them what they're used to and supporting them, offering them a little gentle touch, being with them, you know, comforting them, but just getting, like, just trying to put them down without that, you know, just put them down awake. And not even drowsy. A lot of people will say, oh, you know, put your baby down drowsy. Well, no, because drowsy is still dangerous to me. If you get a child to a certain state for them to be able to sleep, not where we want to be. So I just say, put them down, do a check-in. Just hang back and just see how they are. And every so often, go give them a comforting word, a little touch. Stay in the room. And then as they're learning, you know, just keep giving them a little guidance, giving them, you know, the positive encouragement, a little pickup here and there, a snuggle, some eye contact, you know, letting them know it's okay.
Right.
And eventually they will fall asleep on their own.
Yes, and that's huge. So you're okay with us picking up our baby to kind of console them, but then put them back down while they're awake?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the one thing I always caution is we don't want to pick them up and get them to this certain place of calm and drowsy, then put
them
back down.
Okay.
So you want to pick them up, give them that little extra, we got your back, buddy, we're here for you, a little extra snuggle, and then back down.
Okay, so it's the reassurance, not the try and get them back to sleep. Got
That's
it.
Right.
That's different. That's sure. different. Okay, yeah. And so then for toddlers, let's say my toddler knows how to get out of bed. This is a common thing I'm sure that you see. How do I get my kid to stay in bed?
Yeah, that's a good question. So toddlers, a whole other ballgame. They are like little masters of manipulation, and not in a bad way, but they have a lot of fun with us. I always recommend not taking, moving a little one into a big girl or boy bed until over 3 years of age.
Okay.
The reason for that is at that age they can understand consequence and they can comprehend more. So we implement things like an okay to wake clock or one of the grow clocks that lights up when it's time to wake up. They understand rewards. If you stay in bed all night and wait for the sun, you'll get a Smartie in the morning. Prior to that, they don't understand. So there's lots of kind of strategic things you can do when they're old enough, you know, for sure over the 2.5-year-old mark. Three is ideal for kind of implementing rewards and that sort of thing.
Sure. And what if they can climb out of their crib and they're under three and they don't truly get it and they're not truly motivated by rewards or don't understand like the long-term reward aspect?
Yep. The best thing to do in a case like that is I always recommend a little one be in a sleep sack. So actually with that sleep sack on, they have a hard time getting out of the crib.
Take away their ability to walk. Yeah.
I'm like, here, you just throw you in the sleep sack, lower the crib, obviously, which most people would have anyway. But another thing, and, you know, they do kind of jump out here and there, and we call them our little crib jumpers, and there's ways of handling that. So a lot of the time they do it for attention. They jump out, mommy and daddy come running in, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, and it's like this big to-do, and they get the snuggles, and then they get held to sleep or whatever it is. Without sounding harsh, hopefully, you know, a lot of the time what we do with crib jumpers is it stops very quickly when you, you know, obviously we want them to be safe. We never want little ones to be jumping out, but putting pillows down or mattress down on the floor. So if they were to jump out, they have some sort of padding. But also when we're teaching them not to jump out, it's very minimal interaction. They jump out, mom goes in or dad goes in, you know, puts them back in the crib, very businesslike, picks them up, puts them back in, and leaves. So it's kind of like a little business transaction, not really getting any attention. They're not really getting anything crazy out of it. And they're like, oh, this is kind of boring. Why would I keep jumping out?
Right. It's a lot of effort in the sleep sack.
Yeah. And they usually stop pretty quick. So it's not, I have yet to see a crib jumper continue to jump when we implement, you know, a very kind of non-interactive response.
Right, and so much of it is just follow-through, right? I'm sure you see the business transactions from mom and dad the first two or three times, and then maybe they just get worn down, and so then they do the cuddles and snuggles, and then guess what happens the next night? The same exact pattern, right? And so that's probably when you see those repetitive patterns.
That's right.
It's hard to stay firm and consistent with your kids when you're exhausted, but knowing that you know, putting in the energy and the effort up front can save you so much in the long run.
Oh, like, yeah, so much, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes life so much easier when you know that you're going to be able to put your child down and walk away and go have dinner with your husband and mm-hmm. enjoy a glass of wine and not be in the room for 2 hours, not be back and forth for 2 hours. Or, you know, during the day, if, you know, mom is busy, obviously we are all busy. And if it's, you know, putting your child down for a nap and going, okay, I'm done. Baby's going to fall asleep. I can go check my email. I can do laundry. I can have a shower, you know.
Right.
And just having that, oh my gosh, like, it takes such a stress off of us as moms. Like, it's huge.
It is huge. It is huge. And I bet you would say the same even for older kids where we're struggling with bedtime routines. Just the routines and the and knowing that they know what to expect from you each night and they know what's going to happen each night, that's probably what's going to get you the most clear, consistent results, right?
That's right. And letting, you know, older children make choices. Like, toddlers love making choices. Like, out of these three pairs of pajamas, which pair do you want to wear tonight? Hey, you know, what we've got out of these four books, which two stories are we reading tonight? Because they like to feel in control. Mm-hmm. So if you're giving them choices and they're choosing, but you're still setting that tone of the routine, they feel in control still.
Mm. And then having that reward in the morning for some children, if that's what works best for you. If they stay in bed or if they, you know, don't come back out and ask for the fourth cup of water or the third bathroom break, right? Yeah.
You get all that out of the way before they go into bed.
Yes.
Okay, you know what? So time for your snack before we go up to bath. Last chance to snack, last chance to kiss daddy, last chance to kiss your stuffed animals, put your blinds down, arrange the books on your bookcase, whatever it is that makes them happy, get it all done, and they know it's time for a bath and a routine and bedtime and lights out.
Yes, and I think sometimes we underestimate the ability for them to read our minds, and so we know what's going on. We know what the schedule and routine is, but they don't necessarily know, like, this is the new thing. So if you are starting a new procedure or new habits, making clear, especially if they're older, you know, above three, saying, okay, this is our new bedtime routine, maybe illustrating in pictures. I don't know if you recommend that, but saying first, it's picking out your jammies. Which ones do you want? Picking out your books, and then we're going to say prayers, brush teeth, and then we're just going to stay in our room. And making sure you're all on the same page and asking them for input if there's anything that they want differently that is still okay.
Exactly. And that's, you know, in the visual, I like how you mentioned the visual rewards chart too. Like, we often use those and you have a laminated little visual chart and, you know, okay, go check the chart. What does it say? Oh, brush your teeth time. Okay, run and brush your teeth. You know, and you make fun of it. Like, fun of it. Right? And then they get so pumped, right? Little kids love, like, these little things that we're like, oh my gosh, I sound like the most ridiculous parent ever, but they're loving it.
Sure. And if you do make it fun, you'll look forward to it more. And if it's really getting pushed, like, oftentimes that's when kids open up the most. And so, yeah, you do want to linger with your child sometime, but maybe pushing it back and starting it earlier would help versus, okay, getting them in bed at 8, then it's suddenly 8:45 and they're still talking about their day, which is beautiful that they're opening up, but you're done. You're off the clock.
Right. Yeah, and if that's their thing and they love doing that, then you, like, I often have done with parents, you know, okay, so prior to bedtime, you have, like, I've had, like, a magic carpet, I have a magic pillow, and, like, they go in a cozy part of their house, and it's just mom and babe or whatever, and they sit on this big pillow, and it's like, okay, it's time to talk about the day. Mm-hmm. And you have, like, 10-minute talk of the day. And you get that out and be like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love this conversation. And you hear all about the day. You have this great little bonding time in your special corner or wherever it is. And then you head up for your, so that you've got it out of the way.
Sure.
So they're not like, oh, mommy, I forgot to tell you about this. I forgot to tell you about that. No problem. Tell me tomorrow on pillow time.
Yeah. Okay. So they know that there's a place for that and a time for that to look forward to. That is amazing. And so you have a really successful sleep consulting business. And so tell me what types of things you offer and how people can get in contact with you, Janie.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so we have all sorts of different programs. Our most popular one is the Rescue Me Virtual. And what that program is basically we can consult globally. So it doesn't matter where you are. I have a team of 28 consultants. And we literally can consult around the globe through FaceTime, phone, or Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And what this package includes essentially is a full assessment, questionnaire, intake. We have an hour and a half consultation with you. And then you get your sleep plan and you get coaching, which is basically 2 weeks with three phone calls and 2 weeks of email support. And basically, we do guarantee at the end of 2 weeks, your little one will be sleeping through the night if you follow our program and work with your consultant. And yeah, like that's our most popular one, but there's all sorts of different packages. And we can be found at wesleep.ca or we-sleep.com.
Perfect. And I'm going to link to all of this in the show notes. So if people want to access your site, they can head over there.
Amazing. Yeah. And we offer free 15-minute consultations. So people can actually go to the website. And on each page, there's a sign up for a free 15-minute. They can literally book into someone's calendar, choose a consultant that they feel that they're meshed with, or kind of have a little, hey, this person sounds like a good fit for me. Book a 15-minute appointment right there. They get text message reminders and you get a free 15-minute to chat about what's happening with their little one's sleep, kind of, and get some advice and some support options from a consultant.
That's amazing. And I think fit does have so much to do with it, because with something as sensitive as sleep or making or allowing your child to cry and things like that, that can be really gut-wrenching for a mom, especially a sleep-deprived mom. So I love how passionate you are about this. You're obviously very good at what you do, but you're also really positive about it, which I think really makes a huge difference.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, I'm very real. Like, as a mom and being through this and a businesswoman and, you know, dealing with all the different families out there and all my girls who deal with different families and coaching and mentoring them, like, it's very... This is a real process where, you know, we are talking to all different personalities. We're dealing with all sorts of different babies, all sorts of different situations. And we have to be adaptable. We have to be, you know, educators. We have to be on our game. And we have to be empathetic, because it's massive as parents to be going, you know, through anything with their child. And you want to be able to trust your sleep consultant and feel like you are being supported in a way that feels right for you.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. Janie, you're so awesome. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me today.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been really fun. Well, I always ask my guests one final question, Janie, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Gosh, you know what? There should be no game plan, because being a mom will throw you for a curveball. No matter how you pre-plan, you just have to love and enjoy it and embrace every single moment, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And there's no way of, you know, controlling things. There's ways of teaching things, but there's no way of controlling. So let it go. Enjoy the moment. And there is always, always time for sleep.
I love that. Thank you, Janie. You're so awesome, and I hope people reach out to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye, Janie.
Okay, bye.
So for all you people that have been reaching out saying, I need help with sleeping for my babies or my toddlers or my bedtime routines for my older kids, I hope this conversation was helpful. Obviously, we couldn't get to everything. This just scratched the surface, but this gave me some really great ideas to think about and mull over, and you can kind of apply them to your own situation depending upon how old your children are or the things you might be facing. But really communicating to your kids what the expectations are, having clear routines, things like that. We all thrive in that type of situation. So we should all set our kids up for success by doing those things and offering them those things. So I love talking to Janie, and she is so helpful and so positive. And I have no doubt that every one of her consultants that she hires would offer the same type of positivity and hope for any mom that's not sleeping through the night. So like she said, you can go to wesleep.ca, and that's we like we little one, W-E-E, sleep.ca. They also have an Instagram account that is We Sleep, W-E-E Sleep, as well, so you can get tips there. They have a blog that you can access from their We Sleep page online. Anything we talked about today, I will link to on extraordinarymomspodcast.com, so in case you're multitasking, you don't have to remember all this stuff. She does offer free 15-minute consultations if you want to get a better feel for what they have to offer and for basic help for you and your family. But Janie has also generously offered to give away one Speedy Sleep 911 package. That's a virtual consultation package where it's perfect for anybody with a baby who needs sleep fast. You'll get a customized sleep plan, and you will have analysis of the sleep tracking and feeding and 5 emails in a 10-day period. This is a $249 value. Sleep consulting is not cheap, but it is invaluable once you get everybody to sleep at night and you wake up happy and ready to see each other in the morning. So if you're interested in winning that amazing giveaway, head over to my Instagram and you can get all the details. You'll be following me, follow We Sleep, and then tagging friends who might also be interested in winning this amazing consultation package. So thanks, Janie, for donating that. What an amazing giveaway, and I can't wait to hear your awesome results. So hopefully you've learned a lot today from today's episode. If you don't already follow me, make sure you're doing that at Jessica Dahlquist 3 or on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. And as always, anything we talked about today will be in extraordinarymomspodcast.com, as well as past episodes and other show notes. Oh, and I forgot to mention, the giveaway ends at noon Pacific time on June 7th, which is next Wednesday. So good luck. I hope you win. Next Tuesday, we have an amazing episode with an extraordinary mom. I'm speaking with Brittany Price, who is an amazing mom of three boys. And not only that, she's been solo parenting for the last 20 months since the tragic death of her husband. And she's going to talk about losing him, about single parenting, about dealing with her grief, and about finding her new normal, largely in part through having a tremendous faith in the Lord. And so it is an encouraging episode. You will be so blown away by her perspective and her courage in facing this trial. She has definitely used this trial in order to become a better version of herself, and there has been a lot of blessings that have come through the course of the last few months, especially, and she has some great news to share about an update with her life, which some of you, if you follow along with her, may be familiar with. But if not, you will be so excited to hear what this new chapter of her life will entail. So thanks for tuning in today. If you haven't already left a rating or review on iTunes, I would love it if you would do that. It helps me so much, and it helps people to find the show. And I just thank you for being here. It's so fun putting these shows on for you, and I hope you enjoy them as much as I do. So I'll see you next Tuesday for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.